Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi cover the punk rockinist, hip hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com, the Liberty Radio Network, and No Agenda Global Radio.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Distance Learning Anarchy Series with Freedom Fiends Michael W. Dean.
Broadcasting from my windowless bunker.
And Nima Vadadi.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
Yo, we're recording. What's up, Nima?
What's up, man? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Fiends.
This is DJ Caniacal with MC Library here.
Library, aka the Libertarian.
Filling in for DJ Silencer and MC Choreboy.
Choreboy.
Yeah. Yeah. Choreboy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice to be here. Nice to be back.
You know, I was thinking about the cast yesterday. You should turn up just a little bit. Just turn up.
All right. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
How's that?
A little too loud. You know, Frank was talking about, you were saying like, well, Frank's drinking on his day off from a bartender, and you're like, you know, it's weird. People don't usually do what they do on their day off. They'd want to do anything but. And I was thinking, though, he wasn't doing what he does at his job. He wasn't giving other people.
He wasn't waiting patiently, watching other people get drunk. No,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Turn down a little bit now. We're almost
good.
Drink.
Some good role reversal, right? He gets to be the one calling the shots.
Gets my drink calling. Yeah, there you go. Yep. So today is, let's lie and say it's tomorrow because that's when this is going
to
come out.
No,
this is,
we don't have to lie.
All right, this is October 22nd. It's coming out on October 23rd, so don't call in because it's not a live show. And we're already, we're gone.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I guess we'll be gone. Actually, Tuesday's my day off, so I'll actually be in, but not taking calls.
So, my fellow macho libertarian flasher.
Yeah, I'm flasher.
I have something kind of shocking to reveal. Go look at the Freedom Fiends podcast.
Oh, you're going to reveal something?
Yeah.
All right.
I should have you here on Pigeon so I can send you encrypted stuff, secret that we talk about.
Secret. Yes, yeah. Okay. What would you like to reveal to me?
Okay, the junkie girl?
Yeah, the junkie girl.
That we think is really kind of hot in a disturbing way.
Uh-huh. Is it really a dude?
It's a dude, man. Look at it closely.
Oh, that's gay. Oh, that's okay.
Man, that's a good tranny when he can pass naked with no makeup and no clothes, you know.
Yeah. You sure it's not wearing lipstick?
I don't think it is. I think it's just, you know, whatever beat it into having those bruises, you know. It's been sucking something. Its lips are inflamed. I think it's a dude, man.
What, you think it's a dude or you found out?
I don't know. I was researching on Google my search for junkie hookers and just really disturbing myself because they're not all as hot as him, her. I can't find where I got this, man. I don't know. It looks like a Richard Curran picture, really.
Well, then why would you say it's a dude if you don't know for sure that it's a dude or a chick? You just don't know what it is.
Because I want to piss you off and freak you out and have you question your sensuality.
Nah, it's cool. It's cool. I'm comfortable.
Man, there are some disturbing pictures when you search junkie hooker on Google with the image safe search off.
I'm glad. I would hope Google would be up to that task. I mean, seriously, you don't want it to be tame pictures if you're searching that, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Drink, man, drink.
Providing for the tranny hooker demand appropriately. Good job,
Google. There used to be a crack whore porn site where they'd get crack whores, buy them crack, and then interview them and then have sex with them. Crack whore. It was called Search Crack Whore Confessions for that one.
Let me open up my incognito window first. What was it called?
Crack whore confessions.
Crack whore. All right, let's see. A crack whore confessions. Real crack whores sharing their dot dot dot.
Sharing their dot dot dot.
Wow. Okay. Cool. I could dig that. That might be fun. I bet crack whores are funny. Like, I bet they've got lots of funny things to
say. They stab you in your sleep.
Until they stab you. That's why something like this is great, because you get to
observe
vicariously have sex with a crack whore.
Observe
for
it
money.
Through a powerful telescope.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Ew. This girl's injecting something into her veins. Ew. That's gross. It's crack whore, not heroin whore.
Canonical. Canonical.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, I was thinking just earlier that statists are canonical about their stato Bible, aren't they? That's one of the worst things about statists, is they're so well versed in their canonical statehood.
Well, there's something I really want to talk about. I want to talk about something today that's really dismayed me with how much statism there was. I just sent you a link.
All right.
It's to a YouTube video of Derek J. and Ian Freeman filming, I guess Pete might be in the backseat filming it, filming a cop stop in New Hampshire, Manchester, they were just being cop blockers. They were like, you know, he rolled down his window like an inch and wouldn't roll it down all the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, didn't want to tell the cop where he was headed, anything like that. You know, typical stuff you don't have to do. He was just flexing his rights.
Right.
Somebody posted this on Reddit with some title like, you know, look at these idiots who don't do what cops tell them to do, or something like that. And it went viral.
Idiots. Yeah,
it went viral. Look how many views this thing has. It's really disturbing.
Oh, wow. And, yeah, it's like a third of a million.
Yeah, in like a couple days. Let's see. This was put up March 15th, but it just a couple days, you know, it had like 1,000 views until a couple days ago. And now it's got 329,000 views. It's got
so many dislikes. 11,000 dislikes.
649 likes and 11,770 dislikes. Wow. Read a few of these condoms just randomly.
A few of the condoms? Okay.
Condoms? Did I say condoms?
I think you said condoms. Yeah. I'm going to put that on my list for you. All right. Yeah. I'm going to read the comments. Someone give me this cop's Facebook page. I'd love to harass him. Oh, okay. That's fair. Then after that, these guys are wankers. I don't think he means the cops, though. I wish he did. And that's username 01865 if you want to go annoy. Username 01865. All right. Let's see. Derek is a troublemaker. I can't tell if that's a good or bad comment either.
He's
making trouble for the state, and that's a good thing, right?
I wish we could look at the Reddit comments, but Reddit is down. Maybe this thing has gone like uber viral.
They shut down everything.
Shut down everything. Is that someone said about us when right?
It was some of your haters.
They
were attacking. Was it the Fun Forum? The Freedom Fiends Fun Forum.
It was the Freedom Fiends Fun Forum, which is we don't do anymore. We have the Freedom Fiends blog, which is a lot more manageable because I control who's on it.
Yeah, and it looks a lot better.
And then when someone gets on it, we yell at them for a half hour on the live show.
Yeah, there you go. Cross marketing. It's a good idea.
Yeah. Unauthorized search. I don't see any unauthorized search going on. Simply opening the door so he could hear the driver is not an unauthorized search. Because, see, Derek wouldn't roll his window down more than an inch, and he wouldn't open the door. So the cop just opened the door.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what a dick.
And Derek started.
Derek. I know. Derek's awesome.
Yeah. And Derek started screeching, as Derek does. It's kind of cute.
Stop it, mister. Bad touch. Or well,
he's
wasn't
the,
it?
He's the John Stockton of the Liberty Movement.
I don't know who that is. What's that?
He was a point guard for the Utah Jazz when I was growing up. And he's a white guy, like 6 feet tall.
What's his name?
Awesome. Like John Stockton.
Okay.
He like led the league in steals and I think assists. But often in the playoffs and the finals, you would see him try to draw a foul. And he was really good at it. Like he would get people to bump into him just right. And then he would just like flop on the ground and flail around and draw the foul. Reminds me of Derek J.
That's and we're saying that with all the love in the world.
Yeah.
We love Derek
J. Oh, complete respect. It was great strategy. Draw the enemy into it. And
I know it's from
like the bad guy.
I don't know if that's really from the Art of War. I don't know if there's anything in the Art of War about draw the enemy and then roll on the ground and go, stop it, mister. Bad touch. Yeah. I like one of Derek's favorite lines is, I'm afraid of you. Yeah.
Did you add that if you add a little kid N in front of it, I'm afraid of you.
Which is what we're all thinking whenever we deal with the cops, but yeah.
That's great.
I like it.
Yeah, screw cops, man.
Yeah. How come even when we praise people we highly admire, we sound like we're making pod beef?
I don't know. That's just the fiends, man. That's how we talk.
Yeah. No, I listened to yesterday's cast twice, or one and a half times since then. Wow. And man.
So you relived the same 2 hours.
I do, over and over and over.
Over and over again.
It's Groundhog Day.
Less than 24 hours, man. So
I usually edit them and then download them and then listen to them, which is actually really good because the couple times I've made major editing problems, I've caught them and corrected them within minutes. Like the time that I put in the wrong URL and I had, you know, one called Free Jillian, and it was like, you know, the episode from that was already edited that wasn't meant to post till a week later instead for about an hour.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely good. I'm not complaining at all. I'm just saying, wow, that's dedication, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I found a really good Stato argument or Stato comment here on the YouTube of Derek J getting harassed by these cops with how many dislikes does it have now? 11,770. This is one of the people that I assume disliked it. He says, "This was not an illegal search under any laws in the state of New Hampshire. If you live on a mountain, A, you don't live in New Hampshire, and B, perhaps the thin air is impairing you cognitively. You want to be left alone and you want to use public roadways for your quote-unquote freedom movement. You just don't want to pay your fair share towards maintaining those roadways."
This one says...
Hold on. The last line is perfect. "I do enjoy complete," all caps, "freedom, protected and kept safe," all caps, "by high-caliber police officers such as Officer Harrington. Enjoy your," all caps, "ignorance."
And there was one about, like, yeah, you guys will change your tune when these cops come save you from a mall shooting. And I'm like, no, they won't. These guys all carry guns.
They'll save themselves from a mall shooting. I know. Yeah. They're going to be much better off than
these two don't, but
shooting.
Everyone that's with them always does. So
right,
yeah.
Right. They take the Jeffrey Tucker line.
They have their private cops with them all the time.
There you go.
This video is made by the fine example of a douchebag at the 403 mark, which is you click and it goes to Ian. Also, their squealing when he opened the door was fucking adorable.
It was adorable. I'll give you that.
This guy's being sarcastic. We're being right. I really think Derek should start saying, bad touch, mister.
Bad touch. Yeah, yeah. Well, we could ask him that. I mean, he might listen.
I'll send this to him.
At least once, right?
Yeah.
Just play with it, you know. Switch up your cop talk every now and then. Yeah. See what works. See what sticks. Throw shit at the wall.
When I posted that picture of me looking incredibly sexy when I was about 20, when I was your age.
Saying that. You're gonna remind everybody of that on the cast.
Yeah, about 10 women were like, oh my God. And Derek also was like,
Derek also.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. So, send that picture and then underneath it our request. So bad touch.
Now that I've got your attention.
Creepy. That won't be creepy at all.
Yeah.
I want to hear you say bad touch. Come on. Yeah. Let's hear you say it.
Should we just call this episode Why Derek J Should Say Bad Touch?
Yeah, maybe. or bad touch, comma, Derek J. Something.
No, that makes it sound like he does bad touch.
Oh, yeah. I guess so. Okay. Bad touching Derek J.
Yeah.
All right.
So the real serious part of all this is that, like, I was really dismayed by the number of comments of people denigrating this video. It really makes me feel like you don't have a chance in hell if you ever have to go before a jury. Because, you know, out of 12,000 people, 600 of them, you know, well, I don't even know what percent that is. I can't do math because I went to a public high school. But, you know, 640 out of 11,000 might get you.
yeah.
Although this was, you know, it's not a perfect sample. It wasn't random. It was like posted on the Reddit video site, which is, you know, also often has pictures of like Talibans being blown up by hellfire missiles. And everyone's like, ooh, how do you feel now, Osama? You know, when they blow up a wedding, when the U.S. blows up a wedding
being
party.
Bloodthirsty retards.
You know, here's what it is. It really points out to me how violent everybody is. Like a high percentage of people are violent, and they look at libertarians as violent because we carry guns, or we say, you know, some don't carry guns but say we should carry guns and think there shouldn't be police. And
but then they say things like we should just nuke Iran right now and end it while, you know, quickly, that kind of stuff. Like just eviscerate a whole group of people for no reason. Yeah, let's do that to make ourselves feel better.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff.
People are sick, man. People are really sick.
Sociopaths, man. Collective sociopathy.
Yeah. Yeah. And they think they're clean because they want someone else to do it for them.
That's the worst part. Yeah.
Although one of the comments of this on Reddit was, you know, of course they used the, that cop was acting professionally, which we've debunked because you can't be a professional when you're stealing your money.
But, I love that. Yeah.
You know, one of the comments said, went on to say, like, you know, man, if that's all the cop does in your town when you act like this, I want to move to your town. And I'm thinking, like, where's Ian writing that guy? No, where's Ian's comment of,
yeah,
check out Free State Project.
Yeah. I'll let you stay in my house for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Just move on. Move on, man.
Yeah.
Do it now.
And you can hold the camera next time the cops come in without a warrant and want to look at my water heater.
Yeah.
Man, how can Reddit be down?
I don't know, man. I don't know. But I'm...
That's Square.
Is it the whole thing down or is it a specific subreddit?
Yes, MC Library.
Library.
This is DJ Caniacal.
Caniacal.
Yeah.
Caniacal, the mechanical maniacal man.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So there's a weird data site on Facebook that I want to send you to. It looks like somebody is... Like it looks like a government agency is posting their data compilation requests from law enforcement. I ran this by a friend of mine who's an anarchist computer security expert par excellence. Like, he lives in Europe and he gets, like, you know, flown to America and paid six figures to, like, go configure people's, you know, corporate website, corporate, intranets to prevent people from getting in. But check out this link I just sent you.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's a page. You know, anybody can say
how do you access the data? It all seems to be in wall posts that say, like, data log colon 18.
What it looks like to me, and if you scroll down and look at the likes, all of the likes are Liberty stuff, and a lot of them stuff.
Yeah, anarchy media.
Yeah, well, a lot of it's anarchy media, but there's a propensity of it that is anti-military Liberty media.
Veterans for anarcho-capitalism, etc.
Yeah, and I think one of them's called the troops
soldiers
are,
deserve to die, they're murderers.
Oh my God, that's really disturbing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, don't co-opt their language and their tactics. We want to be the
and their morality. Yeah,
not the them. We want to be the anti-state.
Turn up a little bit, Nina. Turn up.
By we, I mean you and me, Michael. I
not
don't know
that
about
much.
These folks in this group, soldiers deserve to die. They're murderers.
Yeah, but the weird thing about this, I mean, it looks, it's got like snippets of conversations of other people's stuff, like stuff Liberty people said.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's got this, these like headers, like data log 10-303 Victor 11-07 transcript. Jason XXX said, as a Marine infantry sergeant with 8 years of service and 3 combat tours in Iraq, blah, 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 intercepts 1=1 IP verified. What this looks to me like is the headers that would be on a data dump of Facebook responding to law enforcement requests with or without a warrant. Now, I think it's fake. I think it's probably done by a libertarian to, like, make people think, you know, like maybe the guy who does that page, The State, which is the most statist, you know, it's like it's a parody of statism. Like, everything's like, you know, yeah.
Like isn't there one that instead of the Free State, it's like the Dependency State?
Well, that's
that.
A joke, and that's obvious. But The State is like really serious. You know, they're like, I want all these Occupy Wall Street people and libertarians to die. And, you know, it's good for patriotism to do so. But it's a joke, and I'm convinced it's run by a libertarian. But this is, I don't know about this. I can't tell. But I ran it by my friend who's a computer security expert, and he didn't explain why, but he thinks it's fake. He thinks someone just started it to I think it's fake because in the data request headers, it's got NATO alpha phonetic alphabet stuff, like, you know, Victor, Echo. And the thing is, like, yeah. And the thing is, the rest of this looks like something that would be computer readable that wouldn't be people readable. You know, because it makes no sense. But
so why would you use the NATO alphabet if something's going to be computer readable?
Right, yeah. Which is people only. Yeah, I mean, yeah. The NATO alphabet.
Not like
is for,
the computer needs to hear it pronounced.
I know. I know. So yeah, I think it's fake. But it's. I posted this, and a lot of people were kind of disturbed by it. I like the name of this one.
It's very cryptic, but yeah, you're right. It could be cryptic in an art kind of way. Like,
yeah.
they want people to look at it and go, "Oh wow, cryptic."
That's where we're headed. Yeah,
like, be provocative.
Yeah,
it's provocative. No one knows what it means.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Yep.
So, yeah, interesting.
So the latest episode of Treme last night that I watched is absolutely great, as usual. And Treme on HBO. It's about Treme. New Orleans.
How do the people in the show pronounce the name of the town? Is it Treme or is it like Frenchy? Like Treme?
Treme. Treme. I think the accent's on the first syllable.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
There's a thing
but
about...
Is it a... Like Treme, or is it like a Treme, like a T and then a
no,
R?
No. The thing about New Orleans is French words are pronounced with redneck accents, the way a redneck who's never Creole. Spoke French would, even if they speak some French or a variation of French. Yeah, like Burgundy Street is pronounced Burgundy.
Okay.
Burgundy, yeah.
Kind of like in the road, the main drag in Austin is Guadalupe, not Guadalupe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's probably just from cops shortening it on the radio when they're chasing someone on it.
Where they're chasing somebody down to shoot them for no reason.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a
jab at Austin specific, not just cops.
Yeah. But the cops in this show in the latest episode. So there's the city is going around bulldozing houses to rebuild them. And a lot of them are houses that don't need to be bulldozed, that weren't damaged. They're just like
it's a job creation thing.
Yeah, and a theft thing, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what the thing is of who owns it when it's done being reclaimed, but I doubt you own it as outright as you did before. And there were weird things too, like one guy, you know, he had to be able to prove he owned the house for them to not bulldoze it. And, you know, his wife had owned the house, she had died, she'd never had paper on it, her dad had given it to her. You know, so there was like no paper on it. He'd been living in it for 50 years, but he couldn't prove it was his. So they bulldozed and threw him out on the street, but which actually happened. And in this latest episode, the city council is going to vote on tearing down the projects, you know, and I don't even want to get into the morality of like the projects are, you know, paid for by the state or whatever. But I think in LibPair, if you decided to end giving people stolen money, I really think you'd have to do it. Wean them off like a junkie. You could do it quickly, but I don't think you just bulldoze their house and make them homeless. So in this episode, the city council of seven people is going to vote on it. And they have one of those like for show city council meetings. They started an hour earlier than they say in the paper they're going to start it. They lock the gate. They don't let people in, and they don't even let press in. And then they have cops outside, like keeping people from trying to get in. And there's protesters out there saying like, you know, don't bulldoze our home. And the city council votes 7-0 to bulldoze these four big projects. One of which is the project I got mugged at. You know, most statists would be like, I got mugged there. They should bulldoze that. And I'm like, I got mugged.
Bulldoze it back to the Stone Age.
Yeah, and there's actually
in 5 years it'll be bomb it. Send in the drones.
There's actually a rich white character saying that in this, like, well, you know, a lot of musicians came out of there, but a lot of criminals came out of there. They should bulldoze it. And then, like, you know, the son-in-law who is a hip dude who loves jazz music, white dude, says, you know, that's the establishment in this town being at war with the culture here, and the rich white matron is like, how is that being at war with the culture here? bulldozing people's
bulldozing
houses.
Their house.
How is that? Yeah. And the guy who's arguing against that is the guy that the character I like, who looks like me, who's almost libertarian, but still kind of statist. Yeah. But he's the guy that runs for office on the legalized pot for potholes thing. You know, legalized pot to fill in the potholes on the taxes.
I guess there's like precedent for bulldozing houses and not thinking it's at war with them. I mean, that's what Israeli settlers do, right? And that's in the Western culture's mind. And we double think that. So I can see somebody double thinking something.
Well,
like
actually, that's a little different, too, because the Israelis bulldoze settlements of like land people own free and clear and houses they've built free and clear, not stuff the government's providing. But it's still bad. I mean, it's still bad what they're doing in New Orleans.
It's still bulldozing somebody's house.
But the end of this episode ends with, you know, these protesters are like, let us into this meeting. We want to take part in the democratic process you say we're part of. The cops start tasing and pepper spraying the protesters who are not being violent and pepper spray a like really old man who's really sick and knock him to the ground.
Did the old man die? Was he okay?
No, he's one of the Indians, man. He can never die. Although he has cancer, but he can never die. I mean, he'll probably die.
Indians who died from cancer, did you hear about Russell Means?
Hang on, let me light a cigarette. Mm-mm. Who's that?
He died. I guess he's some really, really famous Native American activist. There's a really good obituary of him. I'll send you the link, but we can talk about it maybe on another cast.
Yeah, let's go sell some stuff here.
Okay.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Well, do we have to wait to talk about Russell Means?
Well, I was thinking you would know more about him than me, because you're old and you watch movies.
I'm
he was
old.
In The Last of the Mohicans, too.
Oh.
He was an actor and an activist.
He's not the crying Indian that was played by a Jewish Italian in the 70s commercials, was he? No.
I doubt that. No.
You know about that?
When I was a kid, I didn't know it was a Jewish Italian.
But you've seen the movie, right? You've seen the ad, right? It showed when I was a kid. It was like an Indian coming up over a hill.
Somebody's littering. Or he's
and he's looking out at this river that's just filled with trash. It kind of looks like the place we used to go shoot guns. He cries. It does a close-up on his face, and there's one tear down his face. But he was played by, let me see. I'm looking at Russell Means. Iron Eyes Cody. American actor, frequently portrayed American Indians in Hollywood. He was honored by the Native American community for his work publicizing the plight of Native Americans in 1996. His Italian ancestry was made public.
Wow. No, Russell Means, this is probably my favorite paragraph in his obit so far on the New York Times. He rose to national attention as a leader of the American Indian movement in 1970 by directing a band of Indian protesters who seized the Mayflower II ship replica at Plymouth, Massachusetts on Thanksgiving Day. The boisterous confrontation between Indians and costumed quote-unquote pilgrims attracted network television coverage and made Mr. Means an overnight hero to dissident Indians and sympathetic whites. So that's a pretty hilarious way to bust onto the popular scene, to take over the Mayflower with a bunch of Indians.
And it seems like it went a little better than when the Indians occupied Alcatraz in the 60s and just got drunk and beat each other up. They did. They basically were like, this is our land. This is going to be our libertarian paradise. We're taking this over for the Indians. And, you know, within 10 days, like, they were starving.
Small islands that used to be prisons. Probably
not
the best idea for a libertarian enclave.
Yeah. Turn up a little bit, please, sir.
All right.
Man, we're a lot more polite than we were on the Sunday cast, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, the Sunday cast, we were trying to be assholes.
Mm-hmm.
That was like our goal.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm Jankum Hornberg.
Jankum.
I know. It's like, why did we go after him, man? Of all the people.
It was a joke. We went after the way his name sounded. I mean, I dig Jacob Hornberger. Talk about
Jacob Hornberger and why he's good.
I guess the thing he's doing right now. He is. And the big thing he's doing now, he's been on Scott Horton's show a lot lately promoting this tour they're doing around college campuses with him as a speaker and Glenn Greenwald, who's a liberal, but who's like the best anti-war, anti-attacks on civil liberties, civil liberties guy that is on the left. And who else? Bruce Fein, I think.
Liberals used to be anti-war and anti-attack on civil liberty. What the hell happened that everyone loves Obama, man?
Apparently, Glenn Greenwald is the one who's still holding the torch.
Good.
He does some of the best analysis of what's going on and what DC is doing as far as killing innocent brown people and detaining innocent Americans and making more of a police state here in this country. And the thing is it's him who's a liberal. And
what's his name?
Glenn Greenwald. Look him up. A guy named, I think it's Bruce Fein. I might not be correct on that. Bruce Fein. What's his name? I don't know. Some guy who's a conservative and was like associated with Ron Paul like back in the day. I don't know. And then Jacob Hornberger, who represents the libertarian point of view. So they got a liberal, a conservative, a libertarian. And they all go and they agree on the things of the war and the civil liberties movement. So there's these three guys, three different sort of schools of thought, so to speak.
They agree on two things?
Yeah, it's three guys that agree on two things.
Okay, so it's six agreements altogether.
I guess it's really agreeing on one thing. It's agreeing that, you know, the state shouldn't be doing what it's doing right now with regards to, you know, killing and
how
violence.
Does Glenn Greenwald, how does he believe that but wrap his head around, well, the state should also use its violence to do good things?
I'm not really sure because he doesn't really delve into that a lot. At least that's not the stuff that I've read from him. He tends to focus most on foreign policy and civil liberties and the media being a parrot box for, you know, generals and
the state of vision. State of vision.
State of vision.
I love the name of his book, How Would a Patriot Act?
Yeah. And really, he does a lot of reporting. It's commentary, too. Yeah. But I guess he never gets into that. He never, you know, sits there and calls out for more money to be stolen or defends taxes or anything like that. He just attacks what the state does wrong. That's just one thing he doesn't attack the state for is taxes.
Good. You should turn up a little bit. Man, we're having problems today. Not really.
Am I really that quiet, man? I mean, I feel like I'm way too loud.
I don't know. But, no, you're good.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, anyway, when I normalize it, if we're within 30% of each other, it equals it out anyway. So.
Right. I'm not too worried.
We're batting 9,000, man.
Batting 9? No.
I'm
over
saying
9,000.
I made a new one.
Oh, a new one. Okay.
Yeah.
New shit. I
made it sound old.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, Jacob Hornberger does that whole thing, and that's cool.
Good.
So, yeah, he's not Jankum, but Jankum is funny, and so we said it. Sorry.
Canonical.
Yeah.
Canonical.
Canonical.
Canonical. Canonical. Canonical.
You know, it's weird. Whenever I search canonical on the internet, I get ads for Canon printers.
Why their printers? Why not their cameras? Like, cameras are a lot cooler.
I don't know. Canonical. Because they want me to not have N-word technology. I don't know.
Canonical and Ubuntu. Canonical is responsible for delivering 6 monthly releases.
Is that a
It's got a Linux connection too.
There's a Linux distribution called Canonical. I'm going to have to get that because I'm not really happy with Mint.
I don't know if it's a distribution as much as a distributor, maybe, or a programmer. I don't know. Google Canonical and Ubuntu.
Yeah. I don't want... Ubuntu's a memory hog. It won't run on my 1 gig computer.
Yeah. Maybe you should try to run Linux in a computer that is, like, up to date.
No, that's the point. I mean, I got 5 computers, and I bought one so I could have it exclusively Linux, and I don't want to do dual boot. It's confusing.
Don't do dual boot. Just do... just do Linux.
No, because I'm using all my other four faster computers for the Fiends, and one of them is my wife's.
Okay.
My wives all have to use one computer. They each log on with pet one, pet two, pet three.
Yeah, yeah. Kitty. I think Mitt Romney would be a lot cooler if he had more than one wife.
I think he would too.
I'd be more sympathetic towards him.
Well, didn't his grandpa? Wasn't his grandpa arrested for? His grandpa was born in Mexico and then was arrested for, I think, having multiple wives at some point in America.
Really?
Yeah.
Mitt Romney polygamism. Let me look that up. Polygamy, Mexico.
Mexican polygamy.
Mitt Romney's polygamous family pass could be a sore spot on campaign trail.
Well, he wasn't.
I thought the point of polygamy was so you don't give a girl a sore spot. You know, you can mix it up.
Alternate, yeah.
Let one pussy rest for a little bit.
Wow.
I'm just saying that was probably went into their thought process when they were designing polygamy. I'm not a polygamist, nor would I want to be. One woman is hard enough to take care of.
Well, you know what Cash Newman said? Dating seven women isn't seven times the fun. It's seven times the hassle, and one of them always feels like killing you.
Wait, if it was seven women, I would think more than one of them would always feel like killing you.
Well, I dated seven women at a time at the peak of my slutting around. Yeah. And, you know,
they dated like how? Like they thought they were exclusive or dated?
No,
like
they all knew about each other.
There were seven girls you were boning at once.
It was seven girls I was boning over a period of time. You know, and I had them in a list in my phone book, and I would start with the most desirable and just go through until I got one on the phone, and that's who would come over.
So it was ranked. The list was ranked.
It depended which ones wanted to kill me. That would move someone down.
But not off the list, just down the list.
And occasionally, right, I was crazy. And occasionally I'd have two of them at once. It was nice. On my birthday or Christmas or celebrating the birth of our Lord, you know.
Yeah. Would they interact with each other or just each with you?
That's a really personal question. No.
Yeah. That's a little personal. Yeah.
Well,
that's
depends. A little personal.
We didn't already break into the personal yet.
Some were kind of feminist and didn't want to be told what to do.
Sorry for crossing that line, Michael. Sorry. Yeah.
And then some of them were uber feminist and, you know, they'd end up in my bed doing each other and I'd be in the corner crying and masturbating.
Is uber feminist another term for lesbian?
Yeah. Lesbian and want to do it in front of men and not let him participate. Yeah, but that's not really dating. Geez, I can't really say. Geez. That was just people that ended up there.
Okay. Just people walking.
I'm still kind of disturbed at the possibility.
Having to be in the right place at the right time.
I'm still kind of disturbed at the possibility of our junkie pinup girl is probably a boy. Look at him closely. I think he's almost got a 5 o'clock shadow, man.
I don't know. The face is too narrow, I think, to be a man's. I don't think it's a dude. I think it's a girl.
I think I
the only thing that throws me off is the lack of long eyelashes, but it's a meth head or a drug addict, so maybe they burned
pluck
off
them.
Pluck them, something. I don't know. Looks like a chick to me. And the lips are way too big to be a dude.
I like that there's a little bit of blood in the syringe too. Did you notice that?
Look at the
syringe. It's pulled open. There's some liquid in it. And there's a little bit of blood in it. Yeah.
I guess so. That's sexy. Yeah, I did not notice that.
Yeah, that I noticed that immediately.
Gross. Ugh. Yeah. That kind of shit grosses me out, man. That's not sexy to me.
I have my window open. You can probably hear the trains and the sirens coming to get me and everything.
I don't, actually. I wish I did. It would be some nice room tone.
Room tone.
In the outdoors.
I'll give you a room job.
That's disgusting. That's personal, Michael. Don't cross that line. Mitt Romney. So, was his dad, his granddad a polygamist? Is that what the consensus is here? At the heart of the issue is the fact that Romney's father was born in a polygamist commune in Mexico after Romney's grandfather fled the United States to avoid American laws against polygamy.
He went to polygamist lib pair.
There you go. And this is according to the Inquisitor.
And now Romney wants to like put a big fence and keep out the people who saved his grandpa so he could be born.
Has he taken that stance? I mean, I know that's like the route stance.
I don't think so, man.
Has he taken that?
A Massachusetts Republican is basically like, you know, an Oklahoma Democrat or something.
Yeah.
Although, don't the Democrats want to seal off the borders now, except in San Francisco, where they want to let everybody in for no reason? And
I don't know. They all want to control people and point guns at people all the time. So it gets blurred after that point.
Yeah. When I say let them in for no reason, I mean, I have no problem with open borders, but I would want all of the social services cut off. And San Francisco's attitude, really, it's a sanctuary city. They, you know, you can be a so-called illegal and go there and live, and they won't hassle you. Or let you be arrested for it, and they'll let you get welfare. And,
unless you decide to get a pet puppy or smoke pot.
Or have a cheeseburger.
Or have a cheeseburger, yeah, or drink a big soda.
But you can walk around naked. Mm. Oh, you can smoke pot. You can walk around naked smoking pot in San Francisco.
Can you?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, but if you
I guess it was L.A. that is trying to get rid of all the dispensaries, the city council in L.A.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know,
is LA more status and tyrannical than San Francisco, or are they just status and tyrannical in different ways, but each the same?
Yeah,
level,
they're
over
it's
9,
different
000?
And weird. I lived in both of them, and I lived there a long time ago in San Francisco, and lived in LA. I left LA 2006 and moved to Agoura Hills, which is kind of the upper middle class but not totally rich white neighborhood, 30 miles outside of the city. Which was actually starting to get really kind of scary when we left. I mean, like the week we left, the ATM that we went to all the time, drive through, somebody was like hit over the head with a tire iron and mugged, you know, and there were like a couple stabbings. And yeah, it was getting scary, you know, because people always think that like moving to the safe neighborhood or town will keep them safe, but they don't realize that scumbags have cars, especially in LA, or can steal them, you know.
Can steal them. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like the richest part of LA, you know, like the richest part of, let's say like, what's out by the ocean on Sunset Boulevard, something Heights.
Venice Beach.
Venice Beach has some scummy parts too.
But, the OC.
The OC is a different county, but you know, okay. Like let's say like a rich neighborhood in West Hollywood is about 9 miles from South Central, you know? It's not like it's another world with walls between you.
Right. You know, right. You can take a road trip.
You can take a bus if you don't have a car.
Take a bus. You ride a bike. Hell.
Take a bus and run up in some houses.
Get back on the bus. The bus driver tips his hat at you. Good looting.
Yes, sir.
Good looting. Yeah. You tip the bus driver with some of your looting.
Yeah. There you go. Share the wealth, right?
Obama's going to buy me some ammo. Ammo stamps. Yesterday when you were talking about the guy that got killed in, not Edgewood, what's it called?
Englewood.
Yeah, which by the way was over a neighbor dispute, it turns out. It was like the guy who did the shooting and killing and burning was a pack rat, and like his yard was full of trash, and he got evicted, and he believed, I don't know if it was correctly or not, that the guy he killed was the guy who turned him into his landlord. But I think the landlord would know that already, you know? Yeah, speaking of rappers
and California and weed, there's a really awesome rapper that I've been listening to named Oso Ocean. He's really young. He's from San Diego. No, it's Oso Ocean. But he's got this really great line. He says, California, get my weed from the government. Take it right back from me. Ain't that some hustler shit? Like, it's government funded.
Obama
marijuana.
Gonna buy me my marijuana.
But then the cops go and take it back from him anyway.
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty intelligent line there from Oso Ocean.
Oh, he says then the cops take it back anyway.
Yeah, he says, get my weed from the government. They take it right back from me. Ain't that some hustler shit?
Yeah.
Like they got every side of the game. First they steal to pay for your weed, and then they steal the weed from you. So in the end, they have the money and the weed.
Ugh, man. So square.
Yeah, totally. But Freedom Fix from Oso Ocean. Listen to him. Listen to Mesmerize. It's dope.
Reddit's still down, man. For an incredibly popular website, Reddit is probably down more than any site at all.
That's gay. Why is it down all the time?
I don't know that they have ads.
Reddit. Maybe your computer just doesn't want to go there anymore.
You go there.
Weren't we supposed to do an Ask Me Anything?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to that?
The liberals who run Reddit didn't want to do it or don't know who we are.
Oh, you might be right. The top thing on Reddit right now is how liberal are you? This short
you can get on Reddit.
I can't get on Reddit.
Yeah. Man, that's weird.
It linked me to isidewith.com, which is going to ask me, where do I side on social issues?
Yeah.
Wow. That's... And it's also status. Look, what is your stance on abortion? The three choices: pro-choice, pro-life, choose another stance. They don't even name it. They don't even name. It's not the government's decision. Should gay marriage be allowed in the U.S.? Yes, no. Choose another stance.
And there's no stance named of the government shouldn't be involved in marriage at all.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Or there shouldn't be a government. Man, Reddit's down for me on any browser I try to use. That's weird.
I'm using Chrome. You don't have Chrome, do you?
No, I don't think that's the issue. I think it's a IP caching issue. Let me try going in through one of my VPNs here through like Netherlands or something.
Yeah.
So read some more Reddit. We'll go to that... in your pigeon, there's a link to the Reddit. Oh no, I didn't send it to you. Let me find it for you. The Reddit link about this Ian and this Ian video with Derek.
Let's see. I'll search Reddit. What did they name their video? Traffic cop. What was the name of the Reddit post? I guess
I can pull it up. Well,
okay.
Here's a good one. This one's called "As a member of the Free State Project, I do not endorse these asshats" or something like that.
What? Okay, How can you be a member of Free State and not endorse Ian Freeman? He like is Free State.
A lot of people don't. Really? A few people loudly say they don't. But you know, it's kind of like whoever has the media is the representative in the world's eyes, you know.
The page you're trying to send me is down. I have a little like cartoon character saying Reddit is down with 8-bit looking text.
Okay, well, if you can get to the front page of Reddit, search "as a member of the Free State Project." Search that term.
Okay. Oh, now my other Reddit's down. Damn it, Reddit. Maybe Reddit just is down for fiends, and I realized I was a fiend.
It's down for liberty.
I'm back on the home Reddit. What did you say I search on the home Reddit?
As a member of the Free State Project.
Member of the Free State Project. I just heard Mario get a coin.
No, that was me connecting to Bola VPN. You should know that. Aren't you on Bola VPN all the time? Constantly?
I am.
Okay, it's down, and I'm trying to search from like Luxembourg, and it's down.
Yeah, Reddit's not working for me either. Ugh. Why? I can get to the front page, but not the page we want to see.
Okay, screw it.
Yeah, screw it. We spent too long on that. Sorry. Yeah.
It was just a bunch of people saying status stuff that you know, kind of like the stuff on the YouTube thing. Let's go to YouTube. Mm-hmm. YouTube's always up. We can read more of those YouTube things.
Okay. Let's see. People are like you are just stupid. Why do you feel the need to rebel? From Cerebral Assassin, 1977. Does that mean he's brain dead? Is that what his
It sounds like somebody means? From the Mental Militia, which is a Liberty site, but apparently not.
Mental Militia or Metal Militia, spelled mental, like M-U-L.
The Mullet Militia.
There's a Metal Militia, and it's like M-U-L-S-H-I-A, spelled wrong somewhere. No, that's not what you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. You're a bunch of fucking cunts. Deserve that ticket at the least. Try and show least part of respect and decency for someone doing their job, Nuremberg. And whilst you're at it, get a life and stop recording gay wannabe rebellious fucking videos.
Oh my god.
Wow. Gay bashing, Nuremberg defense, ad hominem, and douchey.
Stockholm syndrome.
There you go. What's up with the mountain thing? I see another person saying I already live on a mountain. That was the second comment that referenced a mountain.
It seems like a reference to something else. It's
Derek J doesn't say something about we live on a mountain.
I don't know. Why are you imitating him like he's four?
I don't know. I can't do a good. You do Derek J saying something about mountains.
No, man, he thinks I'm sexy. I don't want to ruin that. He thinks I used to be sexy.
He thinks your tractor's sexy.
What?
It's What's a that dumb from? Country. It's a dumb country song.
Mitt Romney and Barack Obama's web sites on Wikipedia are both protected from edits.
Really? So who gets to edit them then?
Respected users with many. You know, it's just to keep people from like starting a new. Or doing it without a username, with an IP, just an IP, or you know, starting a username just to bash. You know, go to freekeen.com.
Okay.
Which is one of Ian's sites. There's an article on there about Obama visiting their town, and it's like it totally look. It's called Drone Emperor Woo's Domesticated Audience, and it's got some pictures. I'm going to send it to you on the Jabbers. Let me refresh our private conversation here because I feel
refreshed.
Refresh
your privates.
All right, so check this out and look at some of these pictures. I'll link this too. It looks like a effing police state. I mean, literally, like, you know, they turned Manchester, New Hampshire for this Obama appearance into, like, it's people lining up on the street to go through TSA detectors with all this heavy machinery around, like, oh, acting as a portable wall.
That's awful. Look at that. I know. Look at that. Wow. Yeah, you're right. It is just, well, at least it's not millimeter wave, right? I mean, it looks like they're regular metal detectors or magnetometers or whatever they call them. So it could be worse, but yeah, they've literally made like a security line at the airport. On one side of the street, it's empty except for two Fed goons in suits. On the other side, it's just this mass of people clumped together going through this state-o terrorism machines. What the hell?
I know. And there's a guy there standing with a pro-marijuana sign. Do you see him? And the first one between the two. I love how we're surfing the web and describing it. No one can see what we're talking about. But
they will see. Well, we're describing it. We're audio only. Use your imagination. We're going to link it. Don't be so damn lazy.
Yeah.
All right.
Or go to Free Keen.
Admit, Mr. President, unreasonable police powers. www.unsm.us. I don't know what that is, man.
Yeah. And a couple of the goons got upset for being filmed. Like, you can film the event, but you can't film our security stuff.
It's against their religion.
I know.
There was a Indian guy that told me that when I was shooting video on the reservation once in Wyoming. He was like a janitor or something.
Said you were stealing his soul?
I was shooting B-roll for some dumb story about how the school was closed down. And the janitor in there was like, don't take my picture. It's against my religion.
Oh, India dot? Not Feather?
No, I can't do a Native American accent, so.
Oh.
But yeah, he was Feather Indian, man. It was an Indian reservation. There's very few
You were in Riverton and you found a dot Indian?
No, although that would be hilarious. I wish that dot Indians ran the gas stations on Feather Indian reservations.
Ooh, look at this Marine with a sniper rifle up on the roof of one of these buildings. It's a sniper and a spotter. The spotter has a little handheld computer.
Whoa.
Second to last picture, right before Obama actually speaking.
That I would make that picture my lead. Let's
I know.
See here. Oh, yeah. And the spotter's Asian, too, so you know he's like really good at calculating trajectories.
Well, the guy at Ruby Ridge that killed Lou Harachi, that killed the wife, shot her with a nursing baby. Right at breast, shot her in the face, shot an unarmed woman. He was Asian.
The new samurai class. That's racist.
All right, man. Let's go sell some shit.
Okay.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah.
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh.
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. We have Freedom Fiends, Anarchy Gumbo, and two designs for Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $6 for 4 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Did you get a tasty beverage?
I did, yeah. I got some champagne of beers.
All right.
High life.
This is, we're rolling. This is DJ Caniacal, and you are?
MC Library.
Yeah, and we're filling in today for MC DJ Silencer and MC Choboy. So read this ad thing we got. It's in the second page of the show notes here. Someone wanted to put a link on.
Yeah, I would call that a spam, not an ad.
It's a company that actually sells ads. I looked them up. They've contacted us before, but I've marked this guy spam. They don't pay really well. They basically don't pay up front, and who knows if they pay, but they want you to put ads. But read this, and read the name of the page he wants to put the link on and what it's for.
They're like Google, but not as cool. All right, let's see. I don't see it on page 2, man.
Okay, it says, hello, I am interested in placing a promotional link on your page. Neocon right-wing hit piece against Ron Paul that's so silly it could have been from The Onion.
Was that from the Accuracy in Media post yeah, that you're referring to there? Okay.
The link would be for a website which talks about drug and alcohol treatment. I don't have the biggest budget, but hopefully there is a reasonable price we could arrange. Please let me know if you're interested, and if not, thanks for your time. Thanks,
Micah. You know, that's very generous of them. I would love to treat myself to some drugs and alcohol. Where do I sign up?
Thanks, Micah Moore at sellyourwebsiteads.com.
Micah Moore. Okay. Yeah.
We would like to promote the Recovery Industrial Complex on your critique of the Recovery Industrial Complex.
Well,
we enjoyed you.
It's not an uncommon strategy. Like, you go to antiwar.com and you see like ads at the top. I guess they're just Google AdSense ads, but you see ads for Mitt Romney and Barack Obama.
Join the army.
Join the army. Yeah. Join the Navy. And it's like, well,
That's one reason we don't do that kind of ad advertising. Because you have no control over it. I mean, it's bad enough with Google, like on YouTube, on the Guns and Weed movie. There's always ads for drug rehabs and for vote for Obama and vote for Romney.
Yeah. I was going to say, well, at least it wastes their money because nobody reading antiwar.com is going to.
Nah, it's only if you click it.
But it wastes our money. Oh, it's only if you click it.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, yep. So. They only charge if you click it.
So it just wastes resource. It just wastes time then.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you have to wade through it visually, you know. I was thinking about that book.
I don't think the wade through visually though, because I feel like it just becomes noise. Like barely see the ads.
Yeah,
anymore.
But that makes it harder to find what you're looking for, even if you don't realize it. Mm. I like a clean page, man. I like a clean page. And any of the ads we have, you know, the visual ads are small and the audio ads are stunning and entertaining because we make them. And there's stuff that we believe in, you know. I don't know. If somebody wanted, I guess I'd have a price. You know, if somebody wanted to pay us $100,000 a show to put an ad for something ridiculous, we'd put it on and then just giggle after it or something.
Make fun of it. Yeah.
We'd use it. We'd take the money and use it to buy ads against their right. thoughts somewhere right. else later.
We would make an ad making fun of it, like chopping it up and making it sound more ridiculous than it already was.
And put it on 30 Rock.
Yeah, there you go.
Although mainstream media won't take ads, even if you, no matter how much you pay them, for things they don't believe in.
I would imagine so. Yeah. Do you have any like really awesome examples or anything?
No, but I know I've seen that before. I've seen I think Ross Perot had trouble getting ads on TV, and he had more money than God.
Yeah.
Not that he was a Liberty guy, but you know, he was definitely not the Democrat and Republican, and really tried to shake it up. He's an interesting story if you go back and look at it.
Yeah, I remember liking him as a kid. Like I used to do an impression of him to my family.
A lot of kids like him.
Yeah. Because I don't know what the deal was. I guess because he's a friendly, laughable, funny old man.
Yeah,
and he was different than everybody else, so you kind of feel like a certain underdog appeal towards him.
Aren't there people who think that he was libertarian?
Maybe
I didn't even
know what he was. Did he run as an independent? I mean, I was like five or something.
When he ran as an independent and had a really. He's still alive. He's 82. He's from Texarkana. He's an oil billionaire. He also founded Electronic Data Systems and sold the company to General Motors.
He founded what? What was the company?
Electronic Data Systems. I think they made hard drives before anyone knew what a hard drive was. They're from Plano, Texas. But yeah, he sold it to General Motors. Forbes listed him as the 101st richest person in the United States. He had $3.5 billion, and he spent a lot of that trying to run for president. And he was the last third-party candidate who ever stood on a stage with the Democrat and Republican during a debate. He bought his way in, basically.
Yeah. I didn't even know if the media would let you buy yourselves in now. And so, that could be an example of how things have changed. I mean, they're not going to let Gary Johnson do it. I don't know if Gary Johnson has the means to buy himself in.
I'm really sick of getting spam from Gary Johnson. You know, first of all, like, I don't vote. Leave me the F alone. But second of all, like, why are Gary Johnson fans backing him and not Ron Paul? You know, like.
Yeah, there's that. And then there's the, who cares? I guess that's my biggest thing is like, we should be focusing more and more and more and more on the ridiculousness of the political system and the idea that you shouldn't participate in it, even if that means voting.
Yeah. I mean, but so, Gary Johnson is like a watered down Ron Paul. And I don't understand why people go after
him. I don't even know if he's watered down. He's like one drop of Ron Politude in a 64-ounce soda of Stato sugar.
Well, no, I think you're describing Mitt Romney. Although, no, people, the Tea Party people, actually, they have nothing in common with Ron Paul, but they steal some of his language.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, man. I don't think, even if Gary Johnson does get some things right, I don't think he gets them right for the right reasons.
Yeah, it's all about the economic, not about the moral.
Well, he's not even clear on economics. I mean, you heard Bob Wenzel interview him, and
no,
Ben Stone played it back.
I don't know what that is.
Well, I heard it, and Ben Stone also did a cast on it, and where they're like asking him who Ludwig von Mises is and Murray Rothbard and what Austrian economics is. And the last thing he read about Austrian economics.
Who's he? Who's he?
Gary Johnson.
Okay.
And he doesn't know shit about anything, but he's lying about it. He's like, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, Mises. Yeah, he's awesome. I like read a thing by him, and it was great.
Well, didn't Michelle Bachmann say she liked to read Mises on the beach?
Yes, yes. She says she likes to go to the beach and tan with her copy of Human Action.
So we'll picture her 60-year-old Graham Milfie body there in a tube top reading Mises.
You know, I wouldn't mind.
I'd do her.
Doing Michelle Bachmann, but
it would require a ball gag. Ball gag, man.
A ball gag. I was going to say it would require Sarah Palin to be there as well.
And consent. That. They'd have to consent. I'm not talking about doing something aggressive.
Oh no, not at all. Not at all.
I mean, isn't Michelle Bachmann's husband gay?
I think that's the rumor. Like, and weren't they tied to some kind of Pray the Gay Away?
Yeah. Although that would be a rumor people'd love to start just to denigrate him.
It would be. It would be. I haven't researched it. Screw researching Michelle Bachmann. I mean, who the hell would have the time or inclination to do that? She's a, I don't know. I don't even know what she is. A hoe.
Yeah.
Put it that way. You can't make a hoe a house president.
Ross Perot was really weird. He had a weird collection of images. Let's see. He called affirmative action squishy. He said zero tolerance for sexual harassment. Gay rights are individual rights. Fund AIDS blitz. He called NAFTA opponents racist. He's pro. He said homosexuality is an individual right. But he was also like.
NAFTA is not a free trade thing. Like, NAFTA to me is more of a protectionist.
Right. But he also wanted, like, you know, extend the drug war and make it stronger. But he wanted drug treatment for all addicts who are willing to seek it on demand.
The government would have to steal money to provide for that. So yeah, it's not anti.
Enact strict gun control laws. I mean, deciding
a
whether
Texan from Texarkana oil tycoon for more gun control. What the hell?
Curb PACs, ban soft money, ban the Electoral College. So like fix politics, get rid of the Federal Reserve, and then fix politics. He was weird, man. There's no way you could call him a Democrat or Republican. He took like the weirdest from each and made it his stance, you know.
I guess I would describe that as confused, and I felt that way at some point in my life. Like, there was a point after college when I was like reading a lot of Noam Chomsky, and I was kind of feeling like, you know, the whole system is screwed up and you can't change it within the normal confines, but we still need a system. You know, I didn't make that leap yet into anarchism. I was like, well, we just need to make the right fixes.
He was your gateway drug.
Chomsky?
Yeah.
Kind of. He was my gateway drug to realizing how often we are lied to, which is an important gateway drug to take, I think.
Yep. Which is, you know, for a lot of people, I think the gateway drug is 9/11 trutherism. Whether it's right or not, it makes them go like, wait, the government can do something this horrible? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I guess that's an important cherry to pop, you know.
Okay, this is Ross Perot on foreign policy. Less aid to allies, more aid to Russia. Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Russia, reduce nukes, contain imperialism, and send aid.
But this is post-Cold War, though. Like, right post-Cold
War. This was 1996. War. No, he ran in 1996.
Yeah, so that's post-Cold War.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. 91 is, yeah. Okay. Duh.
Derp.
Never hire people who use drugs or alcohol. Solving welfare by work will reduce crime. Education is a strong anti-crime program. Strong supporter of death penalty. Support in recruit people of all religions, races, and genders. Top executives are overpaid. Reduce their pay.
Man, it sounds like one big encyclopedia of dad spam.
he was
the dad spam prophet.
Speaking of dad spam, we're gonna have my dad on here on Thursday, and it's gonna be a ask him almost anything that's respectful, especially about like my upbringing. Although, you know, because he made me what I am in a way. He was an important influence on me, especially with like my work ethic. But the thing is, I kind of think he's totally not senile. He's 92, but he's very, you know, like in control of his mind, and he, you know, lives by himself without help, and he's a pretty amazing guy. But he also, I think he probably has really selective memory. Like if so, you know, a question I'd like to have someone ask him is, you know, was Michael anti-authoritarian as a child? And I think he would probably say no. He probably will not remember that.
Did you listen to your dad? Because as a father, you'd think you'd have some kind of bias there, to where if your son, you know, listened to you and did what you said and respected you, you probably wouldn't tend to think of him as anti-authoritarian.
Well, my parents divorced when I was 9, and I lived with my mother and saw my dad on weekends and, you know, occasionally. So, it's hard to say, and I just think he's going to have selective memory. You know, probably thinks I was an angel.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I don't know.
That Michael Dean, he's a good boy.
My dad does not have a southern accent. No.
Does he call you Michael W. Dean, or does he just call you Mike, or does he call you Michael Dean? What does he call you?
Well, you know,
you're very particular about it's got to be Michael W. Dean.
He doesn't call me Michael W. Dean. Oh, he does when he mails me a letter. When he sends me, you know, printed dad spam, it says Michael W. Dean and DJ Dean. Although I think he's called her Donna before instead of Deborah.
When he get in trouble, does he call you Michael Wareham Dean?
No.
Is that how you pronounce your middle name?
He is not capable of having me in trouble with him, and he hasn't been for about 40 years, or about 25 years probably. So, okay. You know. Okay. No, but he's called me James sometimes, you know, my brother's name. But that's pretty common with even younger parents, you know.
Yeah, like my dad has like 5 kids, and he'll go through the list, and somehow you're always the 5th one.
Yeah, are you ever the girls?
He's addressing. Yeah. He'll go. Nadia, Cedric, Misha, Frank, Nima. Go do this. It's like okay. And, wow. And then we're like, are we all supposed to do it, or just the last one you say?
Ross Perot supported a 50% gas tax increase to pay off deficit.
Gross. That's like doubling it, isn't it? It was probably more than doubling it back then.
Yeah. Oh, he was anti-NAFTA. I read that wrong. But he said Mexico provides escape from U.S. environmental regulations, and this planet is our home, protected in the future. He's like the weirdest mixture of stuff that Democrats say and stuff Republicans say.
Maybe he was trying to do like a big tent self-aggrandizement thing, you know?
I don't think so. I think this would piss everyone off. I mean, what percentage? Let's see what percentage of the vote he got.
It was in double digits. Yeah, wasn't it like 17? I want to say it was 17.
It's the last time there were actually 3 candidates on the ballot too in every state.
Yeah. Ross frickin' Perot.
Yeah, he got 39% of the vote. Holy crap.
What year? Really? In 96?
Oh, he commanded. That was in polls. But let's see. What did he get in the vote? Poll numbers begin to slip. He got 18.9% of the popular vote. That's a lot. He got no electoral college votes, but he got 19 million votes. Oh, and one of his platforms was eliminate the electoral college. Okay.
Nice. So the president who won that year, which I guess would have been Clinton, won only on a plurality. Like, he didn't even have a majority of the people in the nation wanting him to rule and lord over them.
Right.
I guess nobody ever does, but because you never have a majority of the people, you just have a majority of the registered voters who happened to vote that day. But even at this point, you know, he only had a plurality of those registered voters who just happened to vote
that day. The Electoral College is weird. I mean, in a country that's allegedly democratic, you're picking the people to vote for you.
You are, yeah. Yeah. And Status would probably say, well, that's why it's a republic and not a direct democracy, because we have a various safeguards.
A buffer of wiser people to do the voting for you.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't even know if it was, if that particular thing was a thing about removal, or was if it was a logistics thing, since the whole
It was
thing
a logistics
was
thing, because there wasn't electronic communication. It was, I think there was some, you know, we're wiser than you in it, but it was also like, you know, you couldn't count all the votes of everybody overnight and get the results. You had to like send guys on horses to make the votes for you after the district tells them how to vote.
Yeah. Yeah. So why are we still using almost 300-year-old logistics?
A lot of statists, especially liberals who want to fix the system, want to do direct democracy, which they believe we could do by the internet now, you know,
where
everybody votes on everything.
And mandatory voting too, like in Australia.
And you know, when I
used to want that when I was going through that Noam Chomsky period of wait, the system is screwed up, but we still have to have some kind of system. I was like, maybe that's the answer: make everybody vote, and then it'll be truly representative of what the people want. You know.
Yeah, but you just have to look at the likes and dislikes on that Derek J video to know the problem with that. You know, if they put it to a vote of should we make it punishable by death to question a cop, and 98% of the people voting said yes.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it is a big leap of faith in the masses. And, you know, I feel like the statists always try to pin down libertarians on that point. Like, oh, you're just, overly optimistic and you think everybody would be good to each other. It's like, no, that's what you think. If you're putting your faith in democracy, you're putting
your faith
in the fact that everybody in the society is going to be smart enough to decide how the society should be run.
Or that politicians are going to be smart enough and ethical enough to do what they're... to do what they're elected to do, and B, that what they're elected to do is moral.
Yeah, yeah, and they're not going to. Somebody tried to take us to task for saying people shouldn't vote by saying, well, screw the moral imperative. If there was somebody running that said they were going to end the wars, or if there's an anti-war candidate running, I'm going to vote for him because I don't want that blood on my hands.
Bush was an anti-war candidate. That's your answer right there.
Yeah, the answer is no. There's no such thing as an anti-war candidate. If you believe that, then I've got a bridge to your mom's house I want to sell you. Or something.
Turn up a little bit.
I'm just going to sit closer to the mic. I don't need to turn up. I just need to stop. Stop moving around in
I'll
the pocket, man.
I'll say get louder. You should just strap a ribbon mic. Like make some kind of like
to my
dental
face.
Device that holds it 4 inches from your mouth.
There you go. That's not a bad idea, man.
I want to talk a little bit about audio quality, man. Audio quality. The guy that called yesterday.
Amazing, amazing sound. Especially from Skype, because he called you on Skype. Yeah. I've never heard Skype sound that good.
And, you know, I thought the mic he was using was some really expensive thing, and I looked it up, and it was a $39 dynamic mic, you know, like a knockoff of an SM58, which is $99, you know, the same mic they have on every stage in every club in America, in the world. It was not, you can get that mic used on for $15 that he was using. The Focusrite interface he had
is $200.
Is it a preamp or anything, or is it just a interface to USB?
I don't know. I think it's just... It's probably a preamp too, because it's the same setup pretty much as the one I use, which is pretty much the same lineup, but it's an M-Audio brand. And mine has a preamp in it. It's not like an amazing preamp. It's just like a general bare bones preamp. So maybe it has something like that, but nothing like a three-band EQ or whoever that old guy was that made that compressor plus three-band EQ. What was his name? For like the one I have. Yeah, we talked about him on the cast. He like invented stuff. Audio.
Leo Fender.
And he's got gear. No, he's got gear named after him. Not as famous as Leo.
The crazy,
Fender.
The crazy guy.
The crazy one.
Yeah, Joe Meek.
Joe Meek. That's it. I was reaching for Meek.
Yeah, yep. He'd get his over the counter Benzedrine amphetamine pills from the chemist, as they call a pharmacist in England, and sit up and dismantle things all night, which is something people do on speed. On speed, there's four things people do. They either dismantle shit and try to fix it or make it better, and they usually can't put it back together, but he could. Or they put on women's clothing and stick things up their butt. Or or they go dumpster diving, and they're like compelled to dumpster dive. Or... Uh-huh. Or
they build shelves.
They draw really complicated pictures over and over and over on paper that are really small and detailed and have a lot of figure eights in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those don't sound like fun things to do.
Or you do them all at once.
I'd rather play video games and eat Cheetos.
Well, there should be a video game of that, you know, so you can do it safely.
Meth addict. Yeah. Yeah,
Crocodile, the game. Croc Hunter.
Croc Hunter. Okay. Okay. I could dig it. Yeah, that might be fun. It'd be in some kind of like post-apocalyptic Russian Stato society. Yeah, that'd be
cool. So getting back to microphones, it's really interesting to me that we were just blown away by his sound, and he was using, you know, not a ribbon mic like we use, not a condenser mic like we use, but you know, a dynamic mic, which is like the cheapest and lowest fidelity of all mics. And actually, the default mic for talk radio for people that can afford it is an Electrovoice RE20, which is a mic that's been around since the 60s. And there's actually an updated version of it. I can't remember what it is, but Ian Freeman and Free Talk Live use them. You know, they're about 400.
They sound way pro,
but they also have some outboard gear that's really good. And they have radio voices. I mean, Ian Freeman talks in a radio voice when he's not, you know, I talked to him on the telephone and he talks in a radio voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is what happens when you do 6 shows a week for 10 years, I guess.
Mm, yeah. Has or it
maybe
been 10 years?
Maybe he got into radio because he had that voice.
Mm, maybe.
But it really got me thinking about, like, you know, we talk endlessly about our wonderful condenser mics and, you know, tube condenser mics or simulated tube condenser mics like I'm using and our ribbon mics and how great they are. And most podcasters use condenser mics because they've gotten really cheap and pretty good and made in China. And but really, like the sound of talk radio, you know, like NPR, Rush Limbaugh, Hardball, you know, those guys all use RE20s or a variation on the Electrovoice RE20, which are dynamic.
There's
mics.
Less of a proximity effect, isn't there? That would be my interest in it. Is because
this is me.
Yeah, this is me being close
to the
mic.
I like the proximity effect.
Okay, now watch me literally move 2 inches from that spot. All right, and do you hear the difference?
Yeah, well, like, proximity
it's
effect.
It's night and day, isn't it?
Proximity effect is with condenser mics and ribbon mics, when you get closer, you get a big boost in the bass frequencies. And dynamic
and
mics
amazing,
do not
when you're
do
away.
That. Yeah.
Although, you know, with a dynamic mic, you just unnaturally boost the EQ at the low end in your preamp or whatever. And then you could be anywhere, you know, within the radius of the pickup for the mic.
Free Talk Live is actually coming up on its 10-year anniversary in 2 weeks. They started November 3rd, 2002 from a radio station in Sarasota, Florida. And it was Ian and
Mark, right?
And Mark, yep. And then they moved to Florida and became the voice of the Free State movement that some people in the Free State movement says don't respect, don't represent.
A decade. That's a congratulations, man. What are they, doing something special? That's awesome. 10 years.
I've been really busy lately and haven't been listening to a lot of Liberty Media because I'm making so much of it, man. I'm making 4 shows a week, including the editing and uploading.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm thinking next time you or I have a little money and see, you know, a decent dynamic mic for under $50, we should grab it and play around them a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might do that. Yeah. I might get one of these Focusrite audio interfaces too, because it would be nice to have both of my computers on an audio interface instead of just the good one.
It'd
be better for butt casting and other things. I could imagine, you know, doing so much more with 2 completely souped up audio computers.
Let's go sell some things and then come back and talk more about microphone porn.
Yay.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes. Follow twitter.com/fiendtorrents to grab the past episodes and new ones as they post. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents, while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding the fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down. That's twitter.com/fiendtorrents.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN. LRN.FM.
Have you swallowed too much of the state's poison? The Freedom Fiends will stick their fingers down your throat and hold your hair back while you hurl. Check out the new show, The Freedom Fiends Agenda, on Adam Curry's No Agenda Global Radio, streaming live every Thursday from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. East Coast U.S. time. Listen live at nagradio.com. That's nagradio.com. Call in soon before they get droned.
I talked about last week about the microphone porn of that guy who recorded Slish in his studio. There's a YouTube video of it. Eric Valentine, Barefoot Studios in Redwood City, California. But I didn't link it, so I'm going to link it. Did you get a chance to look at it?
No, I did look at the website you sent me with like a rundown on every mic ever made and its qualities and how to soup it up and make it sound better and all that kind of stuff.
Click on the link I just via Pigeon.
Oh, man. You've been going the whole time without saying the actual name of it. Now you've said Pigeon.
What, does that make us hackable or something? Doesn't.
Yes. They're going to...
Make it easy for my network pigeons. Traffic. What, we're going to shoot our pigeons? Obama bought me a shotgun.
I'm going to go shoot some libertarians.
Ugh. Do people really think like that?
I don't know.
I think they do.
They want the cops. They want the cops to shoot libertarians and drone us.
Yeah.
Or at least grab our junk painfully, more painfully when we're at the airport.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, this guy's got some awesome mics. Look at that. Yeah. They're in like little cubby holes like in kindergarten. Like he's got a whole class of mics there. A whole school of microphones. Yeah. And they're all old looking.
They're all old. I mean, some of those mics are worth 10 grand. I mean, yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, I recorded in this studio, man. It's pretty awesome. It's also the first time I was ever in a studio where they did anything on a computer other than the billing. This was in 96. And They recorded on tape, but they wanted to do an edit on the master after they mixed it down to two tracks. In that song, Super Goose, the middle eight went on way too long. And the producer, Davey Farragher, just said, no, just chop that out. And they just put it into a computer, chopped it out, and printed it back to tape. Now, interesting thing that he talks about in this video.
And this was before nonlinear editing, was it after?
Right. It existed. I don't know, because...
That's a really easy thing to do, but you're making it sound like it required some skill back then.
Well, they were only doing it with the two-track mixdown. They weren't doing the whole project. It would have taken too much memory probably to do the whole project that way. But but interesting, and this is a more recent video. This is from 2011. In this video, he talks about how they record, and they record everything to 16-track tape, and then from there... like live, like from the record and playback heads, and then dump it into the computer. So they use the tape as a preamp to give it a more saturated sound.
That tape sound.
Yeah, which I've never heard of anyone doing, but it's pretty cool. I don't know how many times he reuses the tape. I think that might be an issue, and it's hard to get tape, but he does that.
I had all those mics. I would try to record them all at once with something simple like vocals.
Is he watching this with the sound off?
The sound on. You just can't hear it.
I'm going to embed this. Some of these mics are awesome looking. I don't remember what mics we used. I don't know if he busted. We weren't in there for a lot of time, so he didn't bust out. You know, he didn't try a lot of different things. They just set up some mics and recorded us. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, he's pretty awesome. He's the guy that was Eric Valentine. And I was watching this whole video looking for my painting because I gave him a painting I did. I did some paintings in my life that are interesting. And I gave one to him. It's called Bleed All Over the Milky Way. And it's a painting of a slit wrist bleeding all over the Milky Way. And somebody said that they were in his studio recently and it's on the wall there. And I looked for it, but there's like 12 rooms in the studio and one of them is giant. So I didn't see it. But
close-ups of him playing with the mics.
Fondling tools.
The mics. Yeah.
a lot of ribbon mics there. Petting his mics.
Yeah.
Yep. But
what's that sound umbrella above the drum kit? That's pretty
cool too. Yeah, he explains that. It's for changing the room tone on the fly.
That's sweet. Wow. This is a really amazing studio. Like what famous people have been recorded here other than you?
Third Eye Blind. He's actually done some rap. He did The Conscious Daughters and Paris. I think maybe that band Cake. You know, I forgot Cake. To say, Michael Urbano played with Cake live. We were talking about Cake recently. Let's see. Eric Valentine has recorded Queens of the Stone Age, Good Charlotte, Slash's solo record, Third Eye Blind, Smash Mouth. Yeah. Bunch of stuff, man. T-Ride. Yeah. He's the guy that was in that band T-Ride, which was the hair metal band that sounded like Queen that got signed for $1 million, which was the most an unknown band had ever been signed for at the time. And they were smart. Instead of spending it on, you know, tranny hookers and limos and cocaine, they spent it on this studio.
Nice.
Yeah. And I don't know what
I would do if I got any kind of advance.
Yeah. And then they spent
more gear.
And then they spent 4 years making the record, and the same week it came out, Nirvana's Nevermind came out, and no one wanted to hear music that sounded like Queen anymore.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the market changed, man, it wasn't central Nirvana planning that changed
where other bands that got signed and dropped for the same reason around that time are now, you know, working at Fry's at best and living under a bridge like a common troll at worst. He's running a very successful kick-ass recording studio.
he is, good job guy. Eric Valentine, right?
He's a really cool guy too, man. He's really sweet, really good-natured. You know, when me and Bean were recording Slish in there and we were screaming at each other in the control room, he kept calm. You know, he was mellow.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you think there are actual like internet trolls that also live under bridges?
like that picture
of Nemo without podcasting. It was like some homeless guy with his laptop.
Well, I bet
there are trolls who are actual trolls.
Actually, bridge is an internet term. There's, you know, a router can have a bridge, which is to connect two different router networks. So they live, internet trolls live under a router bridge.
There you go.
In the data closet.
Data closet.
Come out of the data closet.
Did data come out of the closet?
I don't know, man.
Star Trek-y or Warzy or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
The only sci-fi I read is Scott Beezer.
Rhymes with geezer.
It's in color now. Did you notice that?
I know. It's like in what's the first color movie? Wizard of Oz. No, they did it smart. It was like they own the technology. You know, they had we have the patents on this technology. So instead of just starting to make movies color, they made like a blockbuster movie that was written for the purpose of it starts black and white
of
in Kansas.
It, the killer app.
Yeah. And then when she wakes up in Oz, everything's color. And it's not just color. It's like hyper color. Like everything. Yeah. Like they
pick
the costuming. They pick the backgrounds. They pick the filters. Everything. So it just looked like, oh, my God, movies just changed. You know?
Yeah. Awesome. Yep. All right. What else we got for Fiends, man?
Talk about Liberty, man.
Liberty's awesome.
You know what I didn't mention?
I should be free.
You know what we didn't mention about Pulp Fiction, the movie? It was actually produced by Disney.
Gross.
Well, it's kind of weird. It was Miramax is owned by Disney, and that's the studio that paid for it. And it was the first movie on Miramax, and it was Miramax was run by Harvey Weinstein, who I've met. I met at the Deauville Film Festival. Harvey Weinstein is Harvey Weingart on Entourage is based. That really abusive, insane, you know, you'll never work in this town again drama kind of guy. Oh, you don't know that. You don't know that, man. You don't know.
I don't know. I'm ignorant. I'm so ignorant. I'm all my ignorant shit.
Yeah. There's so much to talk about, but I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah. We've been fiending for I think the time here.
I could wrap it up.
We just need to end it on a good note like we always do. Something awesome. I guess the mics are awesome.
Okay, Mac users and PC users always fight with each other, and especially Mac users are like, PC users are horrible. They don't know the brilliance of the jail that is the Macintosh. But really, when you think about it, Mac and PC users are the Democrats and Republicans, and Linux users are the Libertarians.
Okay.
The Linux users know that both Mac and PC are wrong.
Right. But good libertarians can still use either Mac or PC, depending on their needs. We can still drive on the roads.
And the guy who co-invented Linux, GNU Linux, is a liberal.
I'm a liberal.
GNU.
Richard Stallman.
Yeah. GNU is just such a dumb word anyway. Who the hell wants to say GNU?
I know.
I mean, I don't think I ever want to say that again. I am hereby banning GNU from my own vocabulary.
From the Freedom Fiend Central Planning.
Yes, yes. I will now stay. I don't know. Something referencing Stallman. What's good?
Someone asked me about the golden floppy disk of Redemption. They're like, "You're still using a floppy disk?" And I'm like,
That's the funny part.
Well, but I started the list 15 years ago. It's actually now the golden encrypted USB thumb drive of Redemption. But we kept the name.
Don't change it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not even a thumb drive. Even that's outdated.
So if you want to get on, if you want to get on the golden floppy disk of Redemption, which is the list of people we will spare when we're the libertarian tyrants of the world and rounding people up to libertarian re-indoctrination camps, there's a couple ways to get off that. One is to donate. One is to go onto iTunes if you have an iTunes account and review and rate the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo podcast. And if you have an Amazon account and you've seen Guns and Weed or Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, go on Amazon and review and rate them. And if you haven't seen them, buy them and then review and rate them.
Yeah, do that. Those things are all good.
Yeah, yeah. All right, man. I think I'm done. I have to go do some housework and yard work before it snows.
Yes.
I have to do housework before it snows in my house.
Fall cleaning. Yeah. Yeah, have fun with that. I should probably do house chores too, but I doubt I will. I'll probably do something more fun. All right. Peace, fiends.
All right. Thanks, man. Worms.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Hello, Freedom Fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I own me and that includes endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Every week, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com, the Liberty Radio Network, and No Agenda Global Radio.
Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarious money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.